She my heart and say, she was your halter, because a clay shaw, shach lay. She Robert de Carselach Mish. I'm Bob Carswell, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to this programme, Shach Lay. In this edition of Shach Lay, Siniru Shaw J. Shach Lay, and Sheo Vard Vanning, the sixth Manx Bard. We'll find out who's been appointed as the sixth Manx Bard when it's officially announced this Sunday coming, the 25th of August. To set the scene, though, we enjoy the work this time of Barden Vanning, Nen, Gies, Three, Care as Queg, Manx Bards 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5. Erno de Velmier Gitana e Queg Barden Vanning, Bifisiau Lloreshen, Drau a Brisio Corrigerbun, She Blina e de Henna, As she bri bri e de Jaru, Erno de Denka Bunai Erahan, was Bridge Carter. Bridge, shen de grey Bridget, as she brige te versioen en enem shen se gilg, as te bri ach geer de grey shen. Well, motter grey, mavis feemort salje gemach, spot shenjach, spot fairse, a slickly naar auf you grey. Ah well, and she be hug Bridge Carter bun bing, Marisha Kirgin, Hazel Tear, Janet Lees, as Di Benson. Van bunnai sheneg Bridge Carter, de chor quirra slai de chor stiach nen mardach. As dach blain de rai pech enjach, as a pech shen a foint jail, de ve na vard vanin. As ced an vard, chenei de skriw bardach inrichen, ach, de goil arn ons tachertan jay de choliu horch, de ve chachter as lie cultur vanin. As erno de vel barden jit de ve pointit jons bulelje ons na helin an goldach se ling shaw, Ta caed e bard vanning, gol mor chach de vanning as an cultuur ega, de goil arn ons tachertan chau muid yn alian nis. Fain tojach de cunsel na helen yn echun a leis a vri sio, as fa roban ar lie as edd ciadit eg Linda Davis, as fa caer Ellen Foy cumit eg Graham Hall, as greinit lloris Simon Capelan leis na foglan fa scrwt sa fyr leg T.E. Brown, a bard genelion, bard manra as ser. The poet of the isle, a poet glad and free. The words of T.E. Brown, and in coming up with the idea of appointing an annual Manx bard, Bridge Carter was inspired by the works of Thomas Edward Brown, recognised as the Manx national poet. And in order to launch the initiative, in 2014, T.E. Brown was appointed posthumously by the committee as the first Manx Bard. Many people know and love the extract known as When Childer Plays. Some years ago for An Chruniach, Dolan Kelly performed pieces from T.E. Brown for us, and he said at the time how good that extract is, but that it gained even more from being given in context. Dolan Kelly famously created a one-man show, a performance of the whole of Betsy Lee, which I was privileged to see him perform, and which he took to the Edinburgh Festival, that great festival of the arts which is taking place at the moment in Edinburgh. In celebration of the first Manx Bard for 2014-15, here is Dolan Kelly performing that extract When Childer Plays, but in its broader context.
Well, out it must come, though it be with a wrench, and I must tell you about a wench that I was a courtin' of. Yes, me, I, and her name, it was Betsy Lee. Now, most of you lads has had a spell of courtin' and that, and it's hard to tell however a youngster comes to fancy that of all the girls it's Ginny or Nancy or Mary or Betsy that must be his'n. I don't know how it is or it isn't, but some time or other it comes to us all, just like a clapper shoot or a squall or a snake or a viper or some such dirt creep. Creep, creeping under your shirt and sliding and slipping right into your brace and making you as you can't get rest. And it works and it works till you feel your heart rising. God knows what it is, if it isn't poison. You see, we're a roughish set of chaps that's brought up rough on our mammy's laps, and we grow and we run about shouting and fooling till we gets to be lumps and fit for the school, and then we gets to know the marks and the signs, and we leaves the school and we sticks to the lines, baiting and setting and hauling and that, till we know every fish from a whale to a sprat. And we gets big and strong, for it do make you stronger to row a big boat or to pull at a conger. Then what with a cobbling up of the yawl, and a patching and mending the nets for the trawl, and a rising early and going to bed late, and a dreaming of scallops as big as a plate, and the hooks and the creels and the oars and the gut, you'd say there's no room for a little slut, but howsomedever, it's not the case. And a pretty face is a pretty face, and through the whole coil as bright as a star, a girl slips in, and there you are. Well, that was just the way with me, and the girl I'm speaking of, Betsy Lee. Ah, mates, it's wonderful too, the years you may live dead on end with your eyes and your ears right alongside of the lass that's going to be your sweetheart, and you never known. That's the way. For her father and mine was neighbours, and both in the fisherman line, and their cottages stood on the open beach, with a nice bit of garden back of them each. You know the way them houses is fixed, with the pigs and the hens and the children mixed, and the mothers go round when the nights begin and whips up their own, and takes them in. Her father was terrible fond of flowers, and his garden was twice as handsome as ours. A mortal keen eye he had for the varmin', and his talk was always of plantin' and farmin'. He had roses hangin' above his door, uncommon fine roses, they was to be sure, and the joy o' my heart was to pull them there, and break them in pieces on Betsy's hair. Not that Betsy was much of a size, at the time I mean, but she had big eyes, so big and so blue and so far asunder, and she looked so solemn. I used to wonder. That was all, just baby play, knocking about the boats all day, and sometimes a lot of us taking hands and racing like mad things over the sands. Ah, it wouldn't be bad for some of us if we'd never gone further and never fared worse, if we'd never grown up and never got big, if we'd never took the brandy swig, if we were skipping and scampering and capering still on the sand that lies below the hill, crunching its grey ribs with the beat of our little pattering naked feet, if we'd just kept childer upon the shore forever and evermore. Now the beauty of the thing when childer plays is the terrible, wonderful length of days is. Up your jumps and out in the sun, and you fancy the day will never be done. And you're chasing the bumbies, humming so cross in the hot, sweet air among the goss, or gathering bluebells, or looking for eggs, or pelting the ducks with their yellow legs, or a-climbing and nearly breaking your skulls, or a-shouting for devilment after the gulls, or a-thinking of nothing but down at the tide, singing out, father happy, you feel inside. That's the way with the kids, you know, and the years do come, and the years do go. And when you look back, it's all like a puff, happy, and over, and short enough. Well, I never took notions on Betsy Lee, no more did she, I suppose, on me. Till one day, digging upon the sand, Gibbons, of course, you'll understand, a lad that was always a cheeky young sprout began a-pulling a Betsy about, and he worried the wench till her shoulders were bare, and he slipped the knot of her beautiful hair, and down it come, as you may say, just like a shower of golden spray, blown this way and that by a gamesome breeze, and a rip-rip-rippling down to her knees. I looked at Betsy, Oh, dear, how she stood, a-quivering all over, and her face like blood, and her eyes all wet with tears like fire, and her breast a-swelling higher and higher, and she gripped her sickle with a twitchy feel, and her thumb darted out like a coil of steel, and a cloud seemed to pass from my eyes, and a glory like them you'll see painted sometimes in a story breathed out from her skin. And I saw her no more, the child I had always thought her before, but wrapped in the glory and wrapped in the hair, every inch of a woman stood panting there. So I ups with me fist as I was bound, and one for his knob, and knocks him down. But from that day by land and sea I loved her. Oh, I loved her, my Betsy Lee.
Dolan Kelly's wonderful performance of that extract from Betsy Lee, written, of course, by the first, posthumously appointed Manx bard, T.E. Brown. As mas all, lug dow rai T.E. Brown de ve in chidvar vanning, de lyunna chu shen, sanav lein ve aru rai pech eniach va fos bio, as ve skriw bardach jen sorch vad de hira. She co hira I, as the care the pech be the hoch blean a jeg the ashes na shinna, the horse jack over. Tan bard right, lorish panel the vreunen, as the brunus jint jena shirder an effuigin over och, och, an act nis to ginaway rosh lucht aishi, as common shen te aru grey in the bavilio goil on slough, the chor a hojach, man as a chultur egger through the novarok. In 2015, the first living bard was appointed, and the second Manx bard was Stacey Astle. Here are two pieces in performance by Stacey.
It wouldn't be me if I didn't read you one that was at least slightly related to death. So this is called When I Die. When I die, place me in cardboard. I want to go out the way I lived. No waste. Don't burn me in expensive wood with polished handles. You'll be burning money I want you to have. Don't bury me sealed off from the worms. Let them in. Let me grow through them. When I die, don't place me in my best clothes. Let me be comfy, an eternity in pajamas. The nice things, the hard-won expensive things, someone else needs them, not me. When I die, no one is to carry me. I'll arrive first, like usual. See you there. Carpool to the funeral. Offer lifts, take them. Make sure everyone gets home okay. When I die, talk about it. Talk about death and all its corners. Laugh where you can. There's usually some humour to be found boxed off in nooks and twists. Don't let me be taboo. When I die, read. Take time now and again to sit on the floor. Pet dogs, always. And mostly, just live. I won't hold it against you. So I'll just finish off with one about accents. I say book, and you say book, and Luke instead of look, and cookies, mine come with extra ooh, and I can't pronounce cook as cook. There's always lots of problems when I'm ordering liqueur and a nightmare in the fabric shop if I need some velour. Star Wars is a tricky one because of the Wookiee. It just doesn't sound quite right, pronounced another way to me. There's castle and there's grass and it's a doer, not a door. And I'm sure, never sure, and I'm always tried to lure. But whatever shape your words take, it doesn't really matter to me. You can say whatever you like, as long as it's not R.A.T.
The second Manx bard, Stacey Astle. In recent times, poetry has returned to its roots of being essentially a performance art. For a good number of years, we perhaps got used to it as a sort of cerebral art, something literary presented on the page. However, increasingly, with poetry slams and other events, performing pieces of poetry has become important. And humour is often part of that performance, as we heard there from Stacey Astle. Gedder aus deis iastil lort mechion bladen, ti goil rish na vel blas man in ach erlieeg. Erliemage T. Brown as an overscute egges of Earl Vandenach, to sly elier scues of Earl Vandenach, as the menic ons ach spotjach. As trevad screw mechion cushion elen, j sorcheby, harawad jinu shen of Earl Vandenach, ach, cren fair nach. The third Manx bard appointed in 2016 is well known for his humorous pieces, but John Dog Collister also produces dialect poetry that doesn't rely on that, as we'll hear in the second of these two pieces.
There's a boat in the morning. And it's not anti-anybody. It's anti-people in particular. It's anti-people who don't like what we've got here. And I tell you what, I've just come back from Italy. You want to drive in Italy? I tell you what. Anyway, I didn't, I must admit. Anyway, Cole, there's a boat in the morning. If you think the roads are too bumpy and the horse trams are really a pain, and you don't like the cowl in the winter and we're getting far too much rain, in the summer you can't go out shopping, you're blocked in because of the bite, remember, there's a boat in the morning and things are not how you like. The place is all full of them foreigners, they're coming in droves every day, and that many cars on the road there, for parking you now have to pay. There's queues wherever you're going, like going to look at the show. Remember, there's a boat in the morning, and you'll not be missed if you go. The beer in the pubs isn't suiting. House prices are way out of sight. The cost of your fuel, well, it's killing, and has nothing to do every night. To eat out here costs a fortune. Class acts coming over are rare. Remember, there's a boat in the morning, and I'll even give you your fare. Now, they call the packet boat the ferry. Across the Mersey is where ferries go. The Ben and Manannan come to Douglas, and regular ply to and fro. Well, maybe not quite so regular. I know you may think this is jest. Remember, there may be a boat in the morning. So turn up and hope for the best. With purple heather around my feet, monk's gore, gold of gorse is nature's art, and watch the lone ravens on patrol, where curlews call, you'll find my heart. Where bluebells mass in woodland shade, they lift the heart and bring a smile. The meadows where the rushes grow and lapwings dive, this is my isle. By crashing waves, the tang of sea, cajoling crabs from rocky hole, the scrunch of sand beneath my feet, gannets plunge, this warms my soul. Coastal cliffs fall to the sea, home for peregrine, gold and thrift. Summer paints the grey rock's face, black rag like chuffs, my pulse they lift. Where people gather at summer fairs, where children play in rocky pools, the place is dear to all our hearts. These are the island's many jewels.
John Dog Collister, the third Manx bard from 2016 to 17. Signed and fair to reich the way bard vanning, cummels an alien. Les grai er an alien is er a culture egger to the agens and over jintega fair shen. A chanel shen de grey de wel frauen liaur egger fair shen and shaw. The person chosen as Manx bard has to be an island resident with the love of the island and its ways. But that's not to say that they necessarily have long Manx roots. The fourth Manx bard is Sarah Goodwins, and she's amongst those who's chosen to come and live in the island because she loves it so much. As her year of office from 2017 to 18 was coming to a close, Sarah was also putting the finishing touches to a book about her experiences as Manx bard, hence the second poem here.
What really is the point of poetry? Is it mere cant to make our words sound sweeter, with dactyl, anapaste and other metre, where counting feet becomes a recipe to write by rote? If verse form easily assumes importance, then meanings teeter, and rhyme and rhythm merely make it neater. Is the framework really all? I disagree. I think a poem's far more fundamental. Its structure frees, not stifles, meaning. Its aims, if any,
not accidental, but forensically examining and gleaning understanding. Its conclusions real, not things and words, but what we feel.
You'd be wrong to think verse boring, spurning it for wasting time. Verse expands ideas, exploring everywhere by means of rhyme. But the bard's job's more than writing, shaping text to rhyme and scan. It's promoting and highlighting all that makes the Isle of Man. If you want more information on the Manx Bard, take a look. There's no need for speculation, as it's all here in this book.
The fourth Manx Bard, Sara Goodwins. As Nish ligged and go back as Blainer the Henna, Trevor Fogram, a chion the fair, for Riotig a Ving, the Vey a Huegu Var Vanning, me Lunason, feed here as Harchjeg. Sara's successor, the fifth Manx Bard, is Annie Kizik. As we're in the month of August, it seems opportune to hear Annie with her poem Lunason, meaning the month of August. And then we'll hear the poem with which she introduced herself after her inauguration as the fifth Manx Bard 12 months ago.
Lunaston. Hills ridge and buckle northwards, and I ridge and buckle too, stumbling on burnished bracken, a small sacrifice inelegantly made in time of need. Little blue butterflies lap around my feet. I did not know that they might live up here. The world is sometimes good. The creamy cotton grass bows its many heads as one, respectful of the stern-faced Sunday men who strain to put a Christian face upon this mountain. Staggering beneath the weight of the great fiddle, they chase the devils out. I think I understand. Huge rocks hang like preaching places. Receding worlds are distantly discerned. The narrow path has vanished into bog, a line erased in rushes. The broad path, too, is puckered, shaled, illusory. There is no summit, only further to go by circuitous ways. I have always known this of mountains, that there are shards in the heather. Yet the breeze is brisk and there is still warmth in the sun. It is August. I taste the blaberries which stain the tongue, so sweet and bitter. I think of you and smile for the beauty of the earth and your face long gone.
Knowing our places. Having little to say to us and we nothing to say to him. We walk the summer hedges nonetheless, which are now gone, most of them. It was a gesture of love, I think, all he knew to do. And in my older years, I thank him for it. Little Mill, Ballacane, Balig, Fabalo, the Scarlet Road, Glendu. It was a soft landscape we walked, one he knew well from youth, before the hard words of men pulled him in. But he had sturdy legs still, even in his 70s. And out here, there must have been something of his essence, some early echoes, though he, like the pattern of the fields, their character and edges, was obscured with time. He walked the landscapes of a lonely man, and we with him. Inland we went, away from the sea, where Onken Parish pushed towards the distant hills in gentle lines, small lanes and old tracks, through fields and on the top of hedges. He knew them all. Hilbury, Crunknamona, the Clips, Keridu, Ballachilmerton, Honey Hill, Enemona, the borderlands of Lonnon. Sometimes he would stop to take a photograph, but not of us. It was grey farms and heavy clouded hills, a scattering of sheep, a great stillness he chose to picture, later to paint in the pale watercolours of his time. Nothing grand. When he died, there were hundreds of them, some half-finished, faded. They were, I understand, memories of what could not be said, but were simply known. Some hang now on my wall. Today, from the house, I can see Skird, the Tramon, Eristain, steep Cranmeary Lay, and the great Carnate. Here is where I walk, often alone. These are my boundaries, the markers of the southern tribe to which I now belong. I love this landscape. The hills are high, the fields breaking up, hedges falling down, fierce boglands of burnt orange sinking into deep folds, heather rising and grey mountain bones poking through. If I could paint, I would paint this land for you, claim it in its vivid autumn hues, before the sun drops into the gaping mouth of the slough and the lights go down on this side of the hill.
The Fifth Manx Bard, Annie Kizik. And this coming Sunday, the 25th of August, we'll find out who's been appointed as the Sixth Manx Bard. In Shachlair next time, of course, we'll be hearing a lot more about that. As we saw, Dera and Na Iru Shen signed on Cordera Erechlair Shaw Shachlair Rishtach. That brings us to the end of this edition of Shachlair. So from me, Bob Carswell, Von Peen, Robert Akarslach, Slen you.